Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council work session tonight, 6:21, 10. We're glad to be back together. We've had a number of discussions, and all of them have been fruitful, I think. And so tonight, we hope that we'll make another few steps progress, of course. So let me ask Roger if he would lead off here with the agenda, and we'll get started talking.
As City Council is well aware, we met on June 2nd, and there was a morning meeting, and for a couple hours we heard from a dozen or more merchants who presented a litany of different concerns that they had. The concerns range from anywhere from tax issues, sign issues, landscaping issues, to other regulations that we have. But the theme was that the small businesses and other businesses within our community could use some additional help in some way to help them become more successful. And council came back and said that they certainly want to help them become more successful and find ways that they could maybe possibly work with them. At that time, council was trying to determine what is the best way to help the small businesses and other businesses within our community. A couple of points that were raised at that time: the city has over a dozen different committees or commissions that meet on a regular basis, that receive information from various entities. They take that information, they talk about it, debate it, get information from other groups in a forum just like we have today, and then they go ahead and bring that back to City Council to advise you on changes that they feel are necessary. A good example, we added a couple of committees in the last 5 years. One of them was the Recreation Commission. They hear from citizens, they hear from coaches, they hear from different teams, they hear from staff, and they take all that information, and they have come back on numerous occasions advising council on changes that they felt were needed. An arts commission was formed up, representing various different entities within our community. They, in turn, have interviewed and talked to different groups, and again have come back to City Council with different recommendations at times. So that is one format that Council may want to consider, is forming up a committee. The advantages of forming a committee is you can go ahead and determine what entities they might represent, whether they be larger businesses, smaller businesses, if there's different. Right now you work with the Chamber of Commerce, right now you work with ADDA, you can have a specific member on a committee from one of those organizations. It could be geographically based, it could be professionally based. There's a number of ways, but each one of you go ahead and have a separate vote and select a separate member. And that probably could be developed and started up within a few months time period. The other format that could be used to go ahead and collect this information is a little bit longer process, but it's just as good as the other one, and it may have actually the same results as the committee system. And last being, you developed a task force for seniors. That task force is going to be made up of around 10 different entities. We're right now sending out a letter to those different agencies and entities to get representatives. We'll get those representatives, and we'll call a meeting probably in August. They will look at the issues with seniors. They will probably interview different groups. They will sit down together and debate it and determine what those issues are, and then come back to City Council and tell you, here are some of the issues, and we feel like that's enough to just tell you what the issues are and maybe some recommendations. Or they may come back and tell you 6 months to a year from now that form a committee that will meet on a regular basis to hear issues concerning seniors. It's a little longer process. We did that when we formed up the Arts Commission. Bill Reynolds headed up this task force. They looked at state laws, they looked at several things that were involved, they met various groups, and about a year later they came back and said the best format would be to develop a committee. So again, those are two different way it should go to hear input that you could then receive on some kind of a regular basis. The task force could have focus groups out there, but then again, your committee could have a focus group where they would go ahead and bring in a facilitator and talk with various groups to kind of narrow that down. The end result is there's a number of things that we staff have talked to several different individuals. Katie Lipskin has been mentioned by name on several different occasions. Katie she's very humble about it and says, well, we don't know. But I've had a chance to meet her and had a chance to meet Beth Nicholson. And a number of things keep coming up. You know, there are some regulations that they would like to see reviewed. Again, though, there's lots of regulations, and we have to nail down what those regulations would be. They feel like some improved communication between city council and the businesses is very important. They feel like trying to create some way that individuals who either live in Aiken or just outside of Aiken or even Augusta would see that one of the best places to shop and to get their merchandise would be Aiken. We would shop Aiken first, which is a campaign that has been used successfully in the past. To maybe use this group to help develop programs and marketing for a community. So there's a number of things that we can look at. Tonight, I have given each of you a memo, sent it out to the newspaper, emailed it out to the individuals that were at our last meeting to try to narrow this down to see where council wants to go so that we can maybe take some steps forward tonight. And then we can even have on the next agenda, which was a week from tonight, if council so desires. So, Mr. Mayor and Council, that's where we see it at right now, and we're ready here. We have staff here to answer any questions, and I'm sure that we have a number of merchants, business owners that may have some input on this also.
All right. Thank you, Roger, very much. Let me just reemphasize, and we did this last meeting, we're all in this together. There's no doubt that we all understand businesses and how important they are to our city, and we have for years. Without businesses, we don't have much of a city. We don't have any jobs and a lot of things. So if we could all think in terms of we're in this together, now how can we come together best to look at some of these things that have been mentioned and get down to the nitty-gritty of, okay, exactly how does this affect your business or that your business, and try to pull together like that so that we can see what may need to be changed. But when we just throw things out like sign ordinance, tree ordinance, this, that, and the other, it's hard to know. Council can't just say, well, I think it's this or I think it's that. We really need to come together in some form, as Roger, and we've talked one-on-one, several of us, you know. We really need to decide, if we can tonight, what the majority and what the council thinks is the best way to go, and so that we can go move on it. Either the focus groups, you know, we've just finished, I think, very successful focus groups with the strategic plan. And Roger mentioned another focus group with the seniors. So we know that these work. We got good comments on the focus groups for the strategic plan. Richard led that. And you know, there were a number of meetings, five or six meetings, I think, in different places at different times. So different people could make a meeting. So we know it works. We know the committee works. So it's just a point, I think, of us collectively, if we can, determining what we want to do. Maybe we want to start with the focus groups, and the information that's learned can then be given to a committee, and we'll have a long-standing committee, business committee. Maybe that's the quickest way to start gathering detailed information. Well, maybe it's not. That's what we need. That's what we're wrestling with, I think. I know that's what I'm wrestling with. From your perspective, what do you want? What do you think would be best? We've had a lot of different ideas. I know several of you have said, let's go start with the committee. Several have mentioned, no, let's start with focus groups. So that's kind of where we are. Now, we want to certainly hear from anyone that wants to speak tonight, like we always do. And hopefully we'll get, rather than dealing in on problems now, we can get a system going, agree on something. And then we can deal with the problems or the concerns in a detailed way so that we can really tell what's affecting the small business, the businesses. And that's another thing. We can't really leave out the large businesses either. Most of our businesses are small businesses. But anyway, Jane Page, would you like to lead off? Your thoughts?
Jane Page Thompson, 240 Knox Avenue. Thank you for your effort and time in reviewing the small business concerns. Several things you can do tonight, such as procedural changes to requirements. Other things require ordinance changes or modifications, which will take 90 days or more with the required reading. And other require a full budget analysis to implement over several years. Tonight is a gauge of your interest to pursue some of these business relief and economic stimulus initiatives. Additionally, some of these concerns of the small businesses and large businesses of Aiken may not have been mentioned as of yet, which is why Bill Taylor, State House Representative-elect, has volunteered to utilize his formal training as a facilitator and his small business expertise to moderate a forum held by the city for all business types to attend and to be advertised to all businesses for an extended period of time to allow for their scheduling and attendance at this forum. In the course of the forum, additional issues may arise, and Bill Taylor has agreed to compile these with the preceding actions required and present a report to council and follow up on the required actions as they take their course. He has volunteered his time for this purpose as a neutral party that has the skills and the time to help the businesses of the city in this capacity. I hope that council and all business license holders and other interested parties will take advantage of this suggested procedure and generous offer of Mr. Bill Taylor. Mr. Taylor would be here tonight in person, but he and his wife are on their long ago planned vacation. But he made this offer, and I am merely passing it along to you as a valid suggestion to allow all businesses ample opportunity to have the input to the city. Additionally, I have been asked to speak on behalf of another person who couldn't be here tonight, and that is Debbie Nix. As some of you are aware, Debbie Nix has spent a great deal of time and her own money calling 230 cities and counties around the state of South Carolina. Here is her compiled list. As a result of those efforts, she's only found one other city in the entire state, Dillon, that requires the submission of an income tax return for business license renewal. Even bigger news, she found, is that the upstate cities and counties told her that gross receipts is automatically verified through the state tax commission, and there is no need for them to ask businesses for their income tax returns at the local level. Debbie Nix had heard through the grapevine that the city of Aiken was reticent to change their process because it may require hiring new people, and it may also require additional paperwork. Because of the submissions from the tax commission, it has come to her attention that this may not be the requirement, that the city could provide this very small procedural change tonight with your approval. Considering the fact that business licenses represent and provide 50% of the income of the city of Aiken, it may be important for you not to place their proprietary information in the hands of city employees, and it is in the interest of the city and business owners to keep these confidential figures confidential. One of the most compelling reasons that other cities and counties do not require the submission of tax returns is that it is an antiquated and cumbersome process, what with maintaining these records. It has also become a huge exposure to cities holding on to such confidential information. The Municipal Association's position regarding the IRS opinion of 1987 in regards to a city having the right to request the tax returns may be legitimate. However, it is not statewide common practice, and therefore it is her request that the city of Aiken no longer require this request either. Some small businesses feel that they have no voice with the Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce because that organization seems disinterested in the smaller issues that greatly affect mom-and-pop businesses and are more interested in ways to attract large business and new potential members. Their main concern seems to be promoting future corporate business and not the interests of existing businesses here in Aiken. So she requests that the city not prolong their decision-making process any further with forums or a subcommittee through that organization. She has asked several of you whether or not you would feel comfortable having your tax return in the hands of disinterested city personnel, and she said that most of you all told her no. Also, businesses do not feel comfortable with the filed gross amounts being printed on the actual business license that they have to post in their business. At some point, the preservation of confidential and proprietary business information needs to take precedent over the city's procedural requirements, especially since other cities and counties in the state do not require such full disclosure. Her goal is for the city to immediately, tonight, change their procedure and send a letter out to small businesses advising them that the procedure has been changed and their income tax returns are no longer required with the renewal of business licenses. And then I would like to mention two concerns of my own really quickly. I know I'm giving you a lot of information, but I am speaking for three different people. I have a concern about the ordinance that requires signage on the parcel of a business to only advertise that business. I believe that if you change that ordinance to allow a business to advertise within the sign requirements that you've already designated, a third business or an additional parcel interest, this would allow some of the businesses that are off of the main drag of downtown, such as Hayne Avenue or Richland Avenue, to have a nice little directional sign on someone else's property pointing to their business, which may be off the common pedestrian walkway. Also, it may allow people who have multiple businesses. I'm going to use this as an example. Soft Touch Lingerie not only has an additional business in Augusta, but they also own a restaurant. It would be nice if they could promote all of their businesses at each location. And right now, your ordinance prohibits them from advertising an additional business on their property. The other concerns that I have were mentioned to me by some people, and that's that several businesses found that the wayfinding program that you all implemented hasn't been working as you all had hoped, and maybe a look at how big those signs are, where those signs are located, and how businesses are advertised on those signs may be more beneficial to some of the businesses who consider themselves to be ignored by the pedestrian purchasing traffic on Lawrence Street, for example. Another concern brought to my attention is the whereabouts of benches that were purchased long ago for the downtown but have never been placed on the sidewalks. Many businesses and individuals paid for these benches, and they have not materialized either through the efforts of the city or the efforts of the Aiken Downtown Development Association. And some businesses were just wondering where they are and why they haven't been put out. And another thing that came to mind was the large mailbox banks, I mean newspaper banks, that were put around the city. There's one just down here that remains completely empty of newspapers, and it might be a good idea to put it at Odell Weeks or Citizens Park and fill it with newspapers where it can be utilized instead of it taking up sidewalk space in the alley. So those are my concerns, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane Page. You've certainly given us some more things to think about. And just about every one of these needs further looking into. Sometimes we don't understand, and I don't even understand sometimes how one thing will affect something else we're doing. So that's the thing we've got to be careful of. And some of them don't necessarily need further looking into, probably. But most of the things that we've talked about so far in past meetings do. They just affect, and that's another reason to have a focus group and really get down to the nitty-gritty. But anyway, I think we've all captured those thoughts there. Is there any comments you want to make as the speakers come up, or you just want speakers to speak and we'll do our writing and then we'll go back? Is that okay?
Or, Mr. Mayor, I would just like to say that what we're trying to do is establish that open lines of communication so we can hear every concern that every business owner has. I mean, if we... There are a lot of things that folks, business people, feel like the city of Aiken could do better. There are some things that needs to be taken away. But what we're trying to do here tonight is establish that lines of communications so that we can hear those concerns that you have, just like the ones that Jane Page had. We want to hear those. But if we spend tonight listening to every individual person's business concerns, we're still not going to achieve the matter at hand, which is trying to open up that line of communication. Whether it be focus groups, whether it be a standing committee, I had originally said that I'd like to see us have focus groups because I feel like that with the business community, in order to get a good cross-section of businesses, small and large, from east side, west side, south side, north side, we're going to have to invite those people. We're going to have to hold a meeting and invite the folks to come in, and that way we can get a good cross-section of all the businesses to pull information from. I really appreciate each one of you coming out tonight. But I guarantee you, there's people who would have loved to have been here tonight that's not here, that has concerns, and I think we want to hear those concerns as well.
Absolutely.
So that's why I was saying I felt as though if we were to have focus groups and do this on an ongoing basis, on a yearly basis, three or four different business people each year coming in, we're going to get a good cross-section of what's going on within the business world and the city of Aiken, and that's the information we need to make the proper decisions. But tonight, we need to focus on what is that line of communication. And then we will proceed with the individual problems, and we can group those together and go forward. Thank you.
Right. Jane Page, now, do you have a method that you would like to see us use? We'll ask everybody that. We've got this.
Joel Taylor's offer is a very inexpensive offer, and that you all should consider that.
Okay, and I think you call that a forum when you were speaking. Same as focus group?
Yes.
Okay, because you're soliciting. I assume Bill would act as a facilitator, if you will, and right. Okay. Very good.
So, how many of those would we have? Just one, or?
I think that's something that the group present tonight can probably address better. Maybe have two or three.
Yeah, I would think so. If you get too many people in one focus group and that's all you've got, it's going to be hard to let everybody speak and get their thoughts across and all.
Mr. Mayor, I remember the meetings we've had, some till midnight, when we were working on other issues in the city, and we formed committees that got themselves together, such as the horse community came together, and now they come to us when there is a concern. And I just think that it would be nice if we could get some type of a committee with them, if they could help us come up with a way that we could get them talking to each other and then coming to us on one affront. I think that I think some of the issues I've heard before, I'm not hearing tonight, and I'm hearing some new ones tonight, and we could go on and on and on with the different types of problems that are out there that small businesses are facing. But until we get them, I'm not going to say all on one page, but at least to in a in a way that they could come to us with the pressing issues. We could deal with them, I think, the way I think, a little bit better than hearing from different people different things every time we get together, because this is what, the second time we've met, and I'm hearing new things, and I think those may not be the only concerns out there, like Jane stated, and I think we need to come up with a way that they could get together and talk about all the issues facing them, and if they need to enumerate and prioritize, then they're better at doing that than I am. If it's a real estate business problem or if it's a retail problem, I just think that we need to come up with a way, and I'd like for them to help us come up with a way that we could have a permanent group that would be able to help us as we go along. I guess I'm looking for something a little bit more permanent than just a few meetings and a report from it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Before Donna has her comment, I want to comment on Richard Pierce and his previous focus group, and then thank Richard Ebner for... Reggie Ebner, I'm sorry, for the breakdown of which you requested in terms of taxes paid and categories. The number of business licenses based on Mr. Pierce's information that we have in this town is over 4,000 business licenses. We have the largest number, based on your figures, Richard, in less than $100, and the breakdown goes to greater than $10,000. That tells me there's a lot of input here. The area that I support, and I think, Don, we're saying similar things, that we have such a diverse group here that we need to hear from as many individuals as we can. And if that is going to different parts of this community, having the input, granted, it takes a little bit longer to do that, but at least you get as broad of an input as you can. I thank you all for coming, but when you look at 4,000, and many of you probably represent some of the businesses, there's still a lot of input that we're not hearing. So let's get as much as we can from those business folks. Secondly, and then we bring a committee together after we've gathered the information. They've got something to work with. Rather than, we could easily form a committee right now, say let's do away with it, with the do the budget analysis, Jane, the procedure. I agree with all the ordinances, but at least with the focus groups that we're trying to come to, you've got some buy-in here with people hearing these things and bringing them all together and say that, hey, we went north, south, east, west, and this is what we agree upon. That being said, Don, I'm sorry that stops you here.
Council Prices, she's making her way to the microphone. We really rely very heavily on our finance department, business license administrator, to get those figures at this time.
Good evening. Donna Wesby, owner of The Greatest Gift, which is a retail shop, and I live in Aiken, South Carolina. I had not thought about this prior to coming, but my suggestion was going to be very similar to Councilwoman Price's, and that is, if you have an open meeting like this, there are going to be such a plethora of issues and suggestions from those who are in retail, like I am, to those who are in manufacturing, etc. So my suggestion was going to be to have focus groups. I like the focus groups, but to have them where they are specific to the type of business you own. For example, we may have a retail focus group. And what that would do is it would narrow the discussion, because most, we're going to probably have some very similar concerns. And then there'd be that synergy developed there where we could immediately focus in on what the concerns are instead of all across the board. And you could have manufacturing, you could have, you know, the list goes on and on. Actually, the chamber has a good breakdown of the different types of businesses as well. And I was thinking along the same line, that once you get some of that initial feedback from the focus groups, then from there you can break out your committees, because I know for me, as a small business owner, I only have a couple of people who work with me at my shop. So it's very difficult, in addition to running the business and being on a variety of boards I am on, to then add another committee. But I think the focus groups can give us some really good meat to start with, and then those who are available to be a part of a committee could then go forth from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
Hi, I'm Mark Thompson. My wife and I own Leslie Ferris Sotheby's Realty here in Aiken. I guess I have a little different perspective of this. I've watched this deal. I think we need to have some kind of an organizational method. But to tell you the truth, I'm pretty shocked at Ms. Clyburn's comments that we should all focus on do this on our own and then come to you. If you don't want to be involved in this process, I can tell you that I think the public knows how to handle that in the next elections. We're coming to try to get some things addressed, and hopefully so that city council, every level of government, starts to realize and recognize that people are kind of getting tired of this, putting this off everything. And we can committee this program to death. We've had the newspaper committee rack deal, which went nowhere after a long period of time. We've had the Northside Development Program, where we found out in the early process of a consultant being hired that the total growth process of the entire Aiken situation was going to be 9,500 additional homes over the next 20 years, and there were already 6,000 on the board that had been approved. They would have had to almost 100% go to the north side for that to ever have been applicable. The downtown thing, which I know you weren't necessarily involved with the traffic light situation, was an absolute disaster. Downtown is dying, and downtown is the only thing that makes Aiken, South Carolina, different than every other small town in the South. It's a vibrant downtown. The parking program that was instituted has now been backed off of it. I mean, I don't know what we're trying to accomplish here, other than throwing up rules and regulations and tossing up different ideas that don't seem to have the benefit of the Aiken downtown area, the Aiken public at best interest. I mean, I think we have some of the greatest facilities in town. The Citizens Park program is wonderful. Hitchcock Woods is absolutely an undeniable asset for the whole area. But to destroy downtown with continuing to regulate it, and then to have situations where we have right now, we're going to have a committee to have a committee to have a committee, and then we need to sit down with maybe half a dozen people in the business community that need to come and sit in maybe a group session with all of you. And how you decide who they are, that's your call. But to throw it out to, we're going to have, I understand the diversity aspect of it, but there are diverse, there are people in every area and every walk of life in the business community right now that you could do with a dozen people and get a real good perspective of what's going on. I think the idea of Bill Taylor offering to facilitate the thing is a great idea, but we don't need to put it before a committee program and a focus group that lines up something for this month, next month, it puts it off, and we start talking about this stuff 2 years from now. You know, every process that we're going through right now in the city is a timely process. And in case anybody hadn't figured out, every since the parking program started, and I know it timed perfectly with the economy being on a downturn, but the downtown business situation has been deteriorating pretty rapidly. And it doesn't appear to be bouncing back anytime soon, and it certainly isn't going to bounce back if we keep having onerous ordinances on the businesses in downtown. I'm sure that same situation exists in the South Side. I'm sure it exists everywhere. There are concerns in the business community that need to be addressed today. I realize we can't do that, and I don't want to have a meeting with all the problems that we have. I agree, but we need to do something in a group. But this suggestion, I think the public, if we all talked about it right now, or you had some kind of a voice vote, would think that that's a tremendous opportunity for us to take advantage of it. Pick 12 people. You know 12 people. All of you are elected. You know how. There's a dozen people from all sides of the community. Get it started and get it done, and let's put Mr. Taylor in charge of it, and let's facilitate it. I think it's a grand idea and a great gesture. That's all I got.
Mark, I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you had to name three issues that businesses face, what would you name?
The business tax is onerous right now. it's small business especially, and you've mentioned the variety of taxes, mm-hmm. bulk of them being under $100. It's pretty hard for me what I pay business tax, and to see when I go into a public restaurant that I see as a volume cash business and see their business license posted with the information that they were talking, that mm-hmm. they paid $67 in taxes and I paid several thousand. It's hard to take, you know. I remember when I first started in business downtown, there was a small tax and it was fine and everybody understood that and everything. It's grown as the gross revenues have changed and the gross receipts process has changed, how the taxation was done. But right now, businesses are struggling, and small businesses are the mechanism that drives the economy. And if we put the small businesses out of business, and Don, you got to know this, if we put us the small guys out of business, this economy is going dead. There's not any amount of stimulus money that'll ever make any difference. You know, we can't just support big business. We've got to create jobs, and jobs are created by small business. And we make it impossible to do business in an area, whether it's through ordinances, taxation, or what it is. We need to be looking at ways to stimulate the growth and the activity level in our town, rather than figuring out how to retard it, in my mind. Yeah? Anything else?
Well, Mark, I'd like to talk with you some other time about some of these comments you've made, because I don't understand some of them. Well, you've made some flat statements, and I'm not saying you're not right on some of them, but I think there's more to them than just standing there and saying the downtown's dying, this. We've done a lot of things. We've done a lot of things for the small businesses. That overlay district that we talked about, trying to improve our roads going out of the city and what have you, we went out to people to find out what they thought. We came back, we found out what the chamber, we found out what a lot of people did. And we said, hey, take it off the board. We didn't push that forward. We want to work with everyone. We want these people that are here to give us their ideas. I don't want to have to select two or three people to sit down with council or me and let's resolve this thing. Sure, we could do it. We could sit here and not even talk. We don't want to do that. We want people's input. And I just don't understand some of the things you've said. I'd like to learn more about it. The business tax is $8 million, roughly. Where in this wide world do you think the city of Aiken is going to be able to get money to supplement even half of it or three quarters of that if we were to do away with that?
Well, I didn't say do away with it, but I believe it's onerous, and I believe the situation...
I think that was one of the first things you meant. Well, of course, none of us want taxes, right? I don't want property taxes.
I don't think that's true.
I don't want property taxes.
I don't think that's true.
But there's a lot more to these things rather than just lift them out there, put them out there in the air. You've got to think them through, and that's our responsibility too.
Well, I have a question then, and this is just a completely different subject, but along those lines, since you brought it up, how is it that we take tax revenue from the 1 cent sales tax and distribute it in a benevolent manner, which is all great and wonderful, when we have budget shortfalls?
We're not distributing it in a benevolent way. What do you mean by that? Giving money or appropriating money to the
charitable organizations?
Charitable?
Yes, I mean it's great to have it when we have a surplus, but we don't have a surplus.
Okay, let me say this: those 1 cent sales tax is made up of a number of projects, as you know. Council votes on what projects they want on the list for the people to decide whether they want that or not. This goes out to everybody in the county to vote on. It's just not something we say this is what we're going to do and we start raking in 1 cent sales tax. It's got to be approved by everybody that wants to vote
to collect
in the county.
Absolutely. The distribution's
right.
Not voted on.
That's right. And then the county, the cities get a certain amount of money.
I just ask, how is it?
I'm trying to answer the question. Did I answer it? I didn't answer it?
No. I understand how you collect it. I have no issue with how you collect it. I don't understand how it's distributed by the council when you have budget shortfalls internally in the city. If you have a surplus after the budget shortfalls are handled, I understand.
Okay, first of all, it's a project. It's a special project test. It's not for operation purposes. It's for projects, building. building, paving roads, public safety. We need a public safety headquarters in the north part of Aiken. We need roads paved. We need bypass widened. You look at the list, and if everybody looked at the list, sure, you'd find some things. Well, gee, I don't like that. I don't like that. What we hope is that there's a number of things on the list that a majority of people would want. I mean, we've got to look at everybody, not just some people, is what they want. We've looked at the list. We've had open public hearings. What's on that list? And I personally don't think the whatever you're talking about, the nonprofits, I don't think that's going to be approved. That's just a personal opinion.
Okay.
Okay, who would like to speak next?
Okay. Mr. Mayor, while she's coming up, I did want to say that it's not my nature to go back and forth on an issue, but I just wanted to say that I heard all the comments that he made, and I just wanted to let you know that I don't intend to answer any of them. I'm like Abraham Lincoln.
No. Okay.
Let me just make a brief comment. Council's getting a little defensive, and I think we need to get out of the defensive posture and start listening.
I think when we have something, we need to tell the other side of the story. That's what we're here for as well. Now, that's my opinion. You know, we're listening to everyone, and I think if, without going into detail, if it's another side of the story that needs to be expressed, I'm going to express it.
Mr. Mayor, before we start, I think it should be pointed out that regardless of our best intentions, there are certain things that we cannot help you with. I think a focus group is good because a focus group can identify problems and bring it to us for things that we can actually act upon. We cannot act on certain things. Just the way of the world. But if it's something that we can act on, I think everybody up here has the same intention to make sure we do everything and bend over backwards to help the small business community and help the big business community.
Katie Lipscomb. I have tossed and turned and tried to figure out the best idea on how to accomplish this. I don't know either, but what I really struggle with is what is the goal that we're trying to achieve? I mean, I think we need to articulate exactly what goal we have so that everybody's on the same page, working on the same team, and then we have something to measure what we're looking at against. Does it achieve this goal? So I don't know I don't know how you develop that. If you get a focus group or, you know, just do a mission, vision, and principles document and then see how it develops. Beyond that, that's my biggest question tonight is what is our goal? But I feel like the best thing to do probably is to get maybe a temporary committee together. Mm-hmm. I think as you get more input from more people, you'll find people that have expertise and have energy that aren't here and that will really add value to the process versus right now, there's more than the usual suspects tonight here, though. That article in the paper, I think, helped. So communicating with everybody got a good many people here. And I agree that we've got to go out in the neighborhoods. When I first got involved with City Council was with the Highway Overlay District. And through that process, at the meeting I went to where the Planning Commission and City Council was together, I got the impression that we were going to try and look at each neighborhood and see, treat them as unique, look at their issues, and develop a plan for them instead of an overall Highway Overlay District. And I think a good start with that would be to take a temporary committee of people, include them in going out to the neighborhoods, include City Council. If you've got a big enough crew, everybody doesn't have to go to every focus group meeting. You could have the meetings in the businesses in the area, which would sure help their business and show support for them. And I propose that they serve beer, because I think people relax and really talk and don't get all upset and everything. But, you know, just make it casual where everybody's sitting around and we're articulating what our goals are. And then after that, then, you know, the biggest issues come up and you find out who has energy, and then City Council puts together a real committee. So I don't know if that's a task force or what that is.
Okay, Katie, I think you're talking about focus groups. Do you know how we did the strategic plan, getting back to that?
Mm-hmm.
You were there? Okay, do you think that was a good way to do that?
Yeah, but it was real, you went around the room and asked one question. I think people want to talk.
There were three questions, of course.
I think they want to have conversations. I really appreciate all of y'all going out and talking to businesses. I mean, I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
So,
would you favor focus groups versus committee? If we had to start one place or the other?
I think y'all need help. I don't think you can do it by yourself.
We're not talking about doing it ourselves. We're talking about having several focus groups.
But where would they be? Would they
be
here?
In the communities. Donna Westby mentioned we could do it by type of business. Have a focus group for retail. You break it up any which way is appropriate. You might have four or five different focus groups. They would gather their information in detail. Now, really tell me, what is really the problem with this ordinance, you know? I think we've said that a number of times. We've got to get down to the actual thing that's the problem. Just like you said, I think what we're trying to get here is, what are the problems? The business groups, people have come to us and said, look, we have problems. We need your help. This is hurting us. This is hurting us. This is hurting. This is hurting. Now we need to get the details of what this and this and this are. True, there are some things that are pretty specific, but most of the things aren't, in that they deal with something else, perhaps. It may be the law that we can't do certain things. If you do this on this, it's going to affect everybody. You can't just do a lot of things for one group of people without doing it for all of the folks. So, you know, it just seems to me, in personal opinion.
Do we have emails for all business license people? Is that something that we could get when you mail back put a survey in when you mail back the business license, to try and get the emails so we can, because communications is a big thing. How you get people to the focus groups.
Sure.
I think the best way to get people to the focus groups is to send out a letter to every person in that neighborhood who has a business based on the address and the business license, from the mayor, that says, please come, and then make a few phone calls, strategic phone calls, to get people there. Because, you know, just throwing it out there, people might have energy, but they have a swim meet, which I have tonight.
We can do that. Do you think it's a good idea and we'll get others' comments too, please, to have a focus group for certain businesses, for certain types of businesses? I mean, see, we've got all these questions. That's why we've got to get down to something here, and so we can move ahead. So you don't have a feeling what's the best way to go about this?
I don't know if line of business.
I mean, council could decide. If you want council to decide, we can decide.
But we want. How about you give a raise of hands?
Well, we might get to that too.
You know, Katie, if I may, you know, Beth Nicholson had an email to Roger LeDuc with some bullet points on that. And I think this is some of the things that we're trying to do. Number one is improve communication between City Council and the small community. Number two is to establish the city of Aiken as a business-friendly city, one in which it's great to do business in the city of Aiken. It's easy to do business in the city of Aiken. So I think this is the overall things that we wish to accomplish through this. And we're just now saying, how do we achieve that? How do we open that line of communication to get as much information as we possibly can, as fast as we possibly can, and get it back through just a small task force of business people, bringing it back to us so that now we can take that information and implement those changes, and Mark, do it in a very timely fashion. But for us just to pull an idea from this business person and one from this one and then automatically go to axing stuff and moving stuff around, I don't think that's the way to do it. I think we've got to have a good consensus of the business people and the things that affect their businesses brought back to City Council with an action plan where we can make those things happen. And I can tell you people, business people, council is at the point that they're ready to do that. But we need the information. We need good, solid information. What is the best way to get it? That's what we're trying to achieve tonight. How do we do that?
Let me just add that some of the things that I've heard was that the city is not business friendly, and if we're not business friendly, then my question is, what are the issues? And the issues have been there is such a bureaucracy in terms of the process of getting things through, and that is coming from one or two individuals. That may not be the entire consensus of the entire business community. So because one or two people are sharing these things with me, I'd like to know if others, 100% of the small business people, feel that way. And until we get more input, again, I'm hearing it from a few people that's sharing various information. I don't know if that's the consensus of the business community.
I think a bottom line thing that's in the back of my mind is the cost of doing business in the city of Aiken is not supporting the return on our investment we can hope to get. So if our ordinances are the same as a large city that has a lot more volume, it's costing us a lot more to do business. And I think some of our ordinances that we're having trouble with were actually designed when we were putting in a new big box every other week, you know, to control them. So I'm one of these people that asks why all the time. I look at the ordinance, I read the rule, and I go, why do we have that? What is the intent of that?
And if I come back to you and say, we're trying to maintain and defend the character of this town, how would you respond to me?
I would say, are there other ways that we could accomplish that we can afford?
Okay.
I wouldn't say, no, I'm all for the character of the...
I'd like to add to what Don said and Ms. Price said. Perhaps we ought to take a look at two different avenues. One is identify what you consider the impediments to business. I think that's a lot easier than trying to figure out how we can actually help you grow the business. I think if we attack it, identify what are the things that we can turn around and just eliminate to make life a lot easier for you. And then, as a consequence of that, I think we can figure out how to grow businesses, how to continue making the town more business friendly.
If you unleash us, it will grow.
Well, no, that's perfect. Identify the things that, you know, every time you turn around, you say, oh, geez, you know, we got to put up with this or we have to do this. Identify those, and we'll see if we can get rid of them, and we'll unleash you. Okay?
So I still don't have the answer on the focus group or committee. I sort of think we need that.
Okay.
My name is Jimmy Brinkley. I'm sort of a chameleon in business. I've been in business in this town for about 30 years, but I've lived in this town all my life. You talk about the character of this town. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about this town. You have some of the best employees you can work with. Your people that run these places will help us as much as they can. Read not the book. You can go in there. They will say, "Come back," and I have to commend you on the employees that you have. They're great. They look out for us. They're looking out for you, and they're trying to keep their job. Another thing about Aiken, what you have to understand is, when you say the city of Aiken, your city of Aiken is composed of a number of arms. You got public service, you've got the fire department, you've got this. When I write a check, it says the city of Aiken, but it'll be $200 for planning. It'll be $225, which goes to DHEC. Then I go back, and then I've got to put another, depending on the price of the building, how much it is. Well, all I'm saying is it is great, but what you need to look at is, example, you've got impact fees. You've got, and I'll ask a question of any one of you, who pays for fire hydrants on a main highway in this town? If I'm to put a business up, who pays for the fire hydrant from $8,000 to $15,000? Who pays for that fire hydrant? Who pays for that fire hydrant?
Which road?
All I'm saying is, who pays for the fire hydrant? The business that's going in will put one in, and any business within 400 feet of that fire hydrant then can use your fire hydrant. But you have to put it in. All I'm saying is, this is the kind of stuff when you go. It is how long it takes. When you go to develop a half acre, you want to keep the city looking green and all. When you have a half acre to develop and it costs you $24,000 to meet all those regulations and all, and it looks pretty. You put in your sprinkler system, you pay for the trees, you do everything for the trees, and when you want to trim them, you got to go get permission from mama to make sure that you're doing it right. Now, people that are in business they don't get angry. We have passion. We don't put in 10, 15. What time do you go to work? You go to work when you got to go to work, and they don't show up, you're there, and then you please everybody. But always remember that small business are where the ideas come from. That's where you get places that sell English stuff. That's where you places that sell lingeries. You've got your beer places. You've got, in my case, I brought in dog washes. I'm just saying, you know, and it's unique. And I go and what happens is it tells me, they'll say, "Oh, I was in town and I enjoyed this place." It was not the uniqueness of the town. It was the uniqueness of that person that went into business that they're talking about. It's the uniqueness. When you talk to people about going to Aiken, it's the uniqueness of that particular business. Or that uniqueness. You know, we were in that restaurant, it was great. We had Italian food, it was great. It's not the city did it. It was that one individual. So when you talk to us, and when we get to talking about the reason why we have folks, we don't have time in our business to focus nothing. We have to make decisions just like that. And each decision costs us money. And then we've got to go. And when a development, just like if you want to do something, it takes you 6 months to 9 months before you're able to do it. That's where our anger comes from. Is it that you're on this council, and you need to, and I'll tell you, if you want to experience, get a hypothetical drawing, a hypothetical idea, and go walk through the city and see what it takes for you to develop that one thing. Just walk through. You go in there, and then they'll say, "No, we're going to turn it down because you've got to have a fire hydrant. Or you've got to have a setback, but you can't have a setback because you can't turn in." They'll say you give you 30 feet, and you can turn in, and you say they can't turn in off the other side, and you've got to negotiate. Then you go back to your engineer, you're paying him $200 an hour to do his work, and then you submit it again. It's $50 every time you submit it. That's where the anger will come from. It's the passion that we have that we develop. And we have ideas and we want to do things. Mine, an example I'm putting in, my next one is solar. It's just as efficient as it can be through study we've done. I am at the point where I will not be able to do what I want to do because what it's costing me to go into with it. So what I'm saying is focus groups are fine if you want to divide businesses up. You can't divide businesses. You can't. I mean, a man that runs a liquor store is not like a man that sells lingerie. He don't have the same problems. What it is if we want to get together, we're right here, we're doing it now. You're hearing us. This is what we need. You need to just take time. What you're going to be taking time, in the same length of time, you can go get in our shoes, get your hypothetical thing, and walk through. See what it's like. It's just like I go over here and watch on TV the guy that goes and he on the TV that he does somebody's job for a day, and you see what he's doing, dirty jobs and things like that. What do? You do a dirty job one time. Take one of these people and say, they say, well, we want to add on over here. You say, well, I'll take that. Let me go with you. Walk with them. See how many times it takes you. How many trips you've got to make. How many times you got to go to the engineer. How many times you got to go to the architect. How many times you got to go back. Do that. And that you won't have to have a focus group. You know exactly when you walk into this room, exactly what needs to be done. Read the regulations. Why is it that when my engineer reads the same book that the city planners and the city people are reading, they don't come up with the same? They have to. It has to be changed. You see, I'm saying, if you read the book, and I read the book, we should be both going 35 miles an hour. Then you want to go 55, I want to go 60, but that's, we read the same book, it doesn't work that way. So all I'm saying is, that's what it is. Just walk in our shoes one time. In these businesses, you go to these businesses, they're unique. You go to the businesses every day, and all you see is a smile. You don't know that in the back, somebody's washing dishes, somebody's emptying trash, somebody didn't show up, somebody is doing this way. Their mother's in the hospital and they still smiling and said, welcome, come to our business. But I'd like to say, your employees are great. They are great. They want to help us as much as they can. And like I say, when we get mad, don't get mad with the messenger. He's doing his job. You know, but he says, this is the regulation I have to. But like I say, walk in our shoes just one time. And you'll see what the reason why the passion is there. We want Aiken to be the best. And if you look around, to credit to these people in here, Aiken is a great town. It is beautiful. We have people coming for every reason in the world. And these are the people. Build the hotels, the motels, the places for them to stay, the places for them to eat, the places for them to wash their cars, the place for them when they play ball. They come, and we provide those services. Polo people come and say, it's great, we've got this and you're meeting this need. The way I meet my customers, I say, what do you need? What do you want? They'll tell me I need bigger washers. I put them in. I meet that need of that customer. And next time, we need credit cards. You got credit cards. You're meeting that need, and they go back, and they come back, and somebody says, you know, we were there, and my company, they said that, and we just love to come here. I had people come in from this weekend, carried them to an Italian restaurant. Beautiful. They enjoyed it. Nice meal. But like I say, it's a great town. You don't worry about it. We won't destroy it. We will even make it better. We've got ideas you have never even seen to see. Like she said, give us our head. Let us go. And you will see a town that will be proud, and the people that are there and visiting will be proud and convince you. We're not going to destroy this town. That's where we make our living. We have children to feed. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Mr. Brinkley, clarification. Did you say that you want to install solar panels and you can install them?
No, I did not say that. I'm running out of money.
I thought you mentioned solar panels.
I do, but I'm running out of money.
Okay.
I'm running out of money because I may have to buy fire hydrants, and I may have to spend it on impact fees.
Okay, thank you. I thought you said you were not allowed to put in.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm allowed.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that.
Oh, I can put them up right there in the front of the building. There's no.
That's correct. Thank you.
Mine won't be. It'll look great.
John Wade. I'm going to bounce around a little bit, and I'm in a little bit different, unique situation from what I'm heard right now. Is the way my business works and running my business out of the house, I'm not impacted by the fees that I'm hearing from some of these other people. So when I'm talking up here, y'all understand that I'm not impacted by what some of y'all are paying. The only thing I'm impacted by is the business license. I thought Mr. Brinkley was right on point that council sometimes members ought to take a, and an even better idea with him, take someone that is going through a process of building a building or working on a, on their business and see what it takes to run through planning and zoning and BZA and all of this stuff. It really takes a lot. And if you can get your employees to step back and treat you like they treat everyone else, and they do treat them very well, but don't give you any special treatment, then I think you'll find that the process is a lot harder than in, walking through that process than it is up here deciding how the process is going to be laid out. And that's also with planning and zoning. And I do think that a lot of y'all need to be in the planning and zoning meetings. There's a lot that goes on in the planning and zoning meetings, mm-hmm. and you can bring some of these concerns to these meetings before it ever gets to council. And all these businesses are going to have different concerns. And I think that there should be a focus group, but I do agree that that focus group needs to be real fast-paced. I think that you need to do email. I think you need to do in person. And I think you need to educate through website or anything, and not the city website, because I go on a lot of websites. But the city website, for me personally, is extremely hard to navigate. On a committee that I was on with MCG, and I don't know, and one of y'all probably knows what the name of this is, but we did a focus study. And what we did is we had X number of minutes. Let me back up. How much did the focus group cost the city, minus the employees, to build and to manage? Well, I don't say, let's rephrase that. How much staff time did it take to do the focus group for the future of the city? And to tally, when you've got all your information, to tally to come up with a census of what that's going to be. Do you have any raw census of time that it took to do that?
Number of hours?
Hours or time. I mean, it was a big project.
It's not that much.
Okay. I participated in it on the website and also in person. But I had a problem with the in-person one is that we had three questions. The one that I worked with in MCG is we had a time limit. We had a five-minute time limit, and we had little pieces of paper. And we only had, I think it was four words that we could write down. And this is what I'm proposing to y'all. And in that 5 minutes, everybody had a different answer. And so we took those on the board, and the mediator took them and said, okay, this one says this. Where does it go on the board? And so after a little bit, you pulled up a group that every one of these people may have very similar concerns. They word them a little bit different. But you can pull those together and then streamline your focus groups and not have someone dictate, do you have a tax issue? Do you have a retail issue? Do you have a new building issue? Let these people decide and do that on a fast focus, something real fast. And then once a good focus group is pulled, I do think you need a committee. But I do not think the council needs to be appointing this committee like you do other committees. I think these people need to appoint that committee. And I think they need to be very... they need to express their opinions on it, on how it needs to, how that person needs to manage it, whether it's a 1 year, 2 year, and the chairman's, and how they should structure that answer to the council or whoever y'all determine that they answer to. But I think they need to control that. And in that focus group, if you were going to break some of them up, and I'm not going to say that it's a fair way, but the only way that I could see that could maybe run similar to what the city is, that the city business licenses are in categories. And each one of those categories pays a different rate. I'm in the construction category. Some of these are in real estate and retail sales. Maybe they're in the same category, I don't know. But the previous lady talked about doing a category of business, and I would think that those categories could run together, because the real estate guy said he went in and he paid, what, $69,000, and he went into a restaurant and they paid X number of dollars. I'll tell you what mine is. Mine's only $500 a year. And I don't know what number it's based on, but it's not a lot of money. I figured mine up after the the first meeting they had on this, and mine was 1/12 of 1% on the business license. So for me to decide what somebody's paying $69,000 for, that's not fair. That's pretty much it. I ran all those together.
Thank you, John.
John. Thank you, John.
Just 1 minute. I don't believe he said $69,000.
I wasn't sure what he said, but I thought he said $69,000. I don't know what he said. And that's why I look back. I didn't see him.
Thank you.
Oh, there he is. How much?
That might be what it is tomorrow.
Yeah, well.
If I may comment, follow up on what Mr. Wells said. According to the information as of the 12th of this month, greater than $10,000 paid on the business license tax. There's only 18 companies that does business in the city of Aiken. Now, they may not be located here, but they do business. So there's only 18 above $10,000. That's just for information.
Mary O'Hare, and I own MB Jewelry and Beads down here on Lawrence Street. When we came in this evening, I remember pretty much the city council asked about, are we here to join business committee or a focus group? That was one of the questions you posed to all of us. We've had a lot of people up here with a lot of answers, but nobody has answered that question definitively. I own a business. I've been here for 6 years. I've been both on the south side of town, and I'm now downtown. I feel that it would be nice to have a business committee form, but I also think focus groups are very important. And Aiken is unique in that we have north, south, east, west, and downtown, each area with our own issues, and they don't overlap necessarily from one area to the other. So I think the focus groups should be formed looking at where your business is located. I also feel, and I'll take part responsibility to this, I'm a business owner. I would love to have more contact with my council members. But that's as much as my fault for not having this contact, as much as you. I haven't always extended the hand. I am extending the hand now, and I'm getting a great welcome back. So I can't say that you don't care. I'm also a member of the ADDA and the Chamber of Commerce. Both of them have vital information if you only utilize it. It seems to me that everybody's coming up here and making complaints and wanting to be able to run amok and do whatever we want. Well, you know, we're not children anymore. If everybody does what we want in society, society's going to be a mess. We have to have rules and regulations. Not only, I mean, they protect everybody within this society. Thank you.
Mary, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
After our last meeting, you came up and we had a nice conversation.
Yes,
about your business and how things were going. And I remember one of the things you said is that your business was going pretty well, because you'd formed, I think, if I'm right, you'd formed with maybe some other people to advertise together. Am I wrong on that?
Yes. We have, there's 10 of us businesses that are downtown. 10 of us chose to come together, and I don't know how many of you have seen the Shop Downtown Aiken. It's a very generic commercial. It's bringing everybody to downtown. It does not in any way depict not one name of one business, and we are sharing the bill to do that advertising, not only for our own business, but for downtown. And it is working. And the one thing people need to realize, advertising works. When times are tough is when you need to advertise more. I have tried numerous times to get more community advertising from our downtown businesses. I've gone, you know, hey, can we do this? Community pages, they work. Advertising works. It's a very small budget, And as far as I've heard that downtown is dying, no, it's not. I own a bead store. I don't own a restaurant. If you don't bead, you're not going to come and see me. If you don't want to learn to bead, you're not going to come and see me. You may come in just to see, what's a bead store all about? Well, guess what? My business is booming. It's increasing. And why? Advertising. It's my job to advertise. It's increasing to the point that I am hiring a new employee, adding income into the community.
You got pretty stuff.
Thank you, Mary.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think this is an area that the city can help on, and pretty fast, is advertising. Shop Aiken first, or however we want to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly be a major part of that.
Yeah, we're working with a cable company,
right,
and it's
right.
Doing quite well. Would I like to see more of that done on a citywide? No, yes. But I'm sorry, should the city foot the bill 100%?
No.
Okay. Get in on the ground floor, join the movement. Don't, the choice is yours. You're going to always get people that are willing to promote downtown, pay the money to promote it, or to promote another area of shopping Aiken. We wanted to promote downtown. If I had a business on the south side, I would want to promote south side, and I would work to get them together to do that. Businesses are going to ride on that coattail. Okay, that's fine. That's okay. I don't care. It's bringing people down. That's all that counts. We need to bring people in. We need to keep some of our shoppers here.
All right. Thank you very much, Mary.
I'm Beth Nicholson. I publish Bella Magazine here in Aiken. I agree with Mary. She had some good ideas. I wanted to just give my ideas about how to do the focus groups, if in fact that's what council decides to do. I think my idea was to have specific dates that we were going to have focus groups to meet, advertise it in the paper, and designate specific geographic areas to include the businesses for those focus groups, however that was determined, and then have the meetings, and then I guess establish a format that would be appropriate to take down the information and then distribute the information back to City Council. And that way I think it could be done in a organized, timely fashion, and no one would be excluded from the process. And you could also advertise it in maybe the water bill or and do something on, you know, paper. But and I don't know what the protocol is when you're trying to reach people. You know, I know that the newspaper is one thing, and I know that recently Richard had his groups that he did with your thing, and I assume that was successful, and just do it like that, and then maybe determine after that, after you feel like you've given people an ample opportunity to provide their input, then you could go forward and you have to have some, I think you have to have some way to take that information and interpolate it and create it into doing something. And I could only understand the way of there being a committee to do that in addition to the focus group. And if there's another way, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure you have more experience than I do with that. And so maybe we could set a meeting, advertise it for, a month from today or something like that, and then establish where the meetings are going to be and invite people to come.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just thought that would be an easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. Let me say on the strategic plan, we were never sure each meeting how many people would come. So Richard, in his vision here, had several different facilitators, teams, set up just in case he needed four or five. And sometimes he only needed two, maybe a little larger groups. But so that's something we could do too. I foresee a first focus group after advertising and those kind of things. How many people are we going to have come? We have no idea. So we could do the similar thing, I think, if we decide to go that way, and have a couple of focus group people set up as a facilitator. Bill Taylor would be great, I'm sure, and there are some others that have come to mind of various of us. And I'm sure you have some too, and if you have some more, tell us. But we could have several set up just so that they'd be ready,
right,
to be able to meet in a smaller group. 10-15 maybe people or so.
Well, and just have a definitive, this is when it's starting and we're going to meet, you know, once or twice or however you want to set it up, and then have a start and end.
Sure.
So that there's a process where you're moving forward on the things, so that it's not you know, just spun right around for a year.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you.
Beth, thank you.
Beth, how do you feel about Bill Taylor's offer to be a facilitator? Had you heard that before tonight?
No, I hadn't heard it before today. I think it's fine that he did it, but I don't think he has the time to come to every meeting and hear from all these people. And, you know, I think it's going to be more of a lengthy process than having one meeting. You know, I don't know what his commitment is going to be.
Okay.
And I don't have an opinion about him versus someone else.
Okay, thank you.
This is going to be very brief. My name is Peggy Penland. I'm in the hotel business and the real estate business. In the real estate development business, when times are good, like the mayor said, we're all in this together. So there's no reason to be defensive. I think you've heard the last meeting and tonight that there's a lot of frustrated business people. I received an email from Roger LaDuke about the committee versus task force, which sounded pretty good to me. It sounds a little more aggressive than a committee. I'm already on a lot of committees. But if it's going to take 6 months to get it going, how many small businesses are going to be out of business by the time it gets moving? I think there's probably a consensus of opinion in this group that we don't have that kind of time.
Right.
In my businesses, the hotel business and in the real estate business, we already have organizations.
I think we can speed that up. I don't think it's going to take that time personally.
We have the Board of Realtors and we have the tourism group. So what we should do to get results is to specifically go to those groups and ask them which ordinances or problems are facing or hurting their businesses. And then we do just what was suggested, remove those impediments. What I'd like to for the council people, council men and women tonight to focus on is what we can do now. And Leslie, I know you will share my concern on this because I see you at the farmers market a lot. I shop at the farmers market every Saturday morning. And they have a problem. And I can compare the plight of a farmer to the plight of a realtor. My husband happens to be a horse farmer, but that's a different matter. If I don't sell real estate, I don't earn a commission. If a farmer doesn't sell vegetables, he didn't make any money. Mm-hmm. And those people at the farmers market have a problem, and y'all can do something about it right now. The city is involved. I think they pay rent to you, and they've lost their manager. And there's no business on Thursday night when they're going there all day long, and then they go home for a quick bite to eat or take a shower or whatever and go back from 4 to 7 on Thursday night. I read about it in the paper once, but I asked the lady, Holly, mm-hmm. is it Gortman, I think mm-hmm. her name is, about her squash and stuff. Anyway, these are hardworking people, and they need your help. Because there's nobody coming on Thursday night. They don't know about it, apparently. So this is something y'all can do now. Put it in the paper. The paper will put it in whatever you tell them to put in about that. So that's something we can do right now. The other thing is Sandy Zotter has a concern about the sidewalks. It's a public safety issue, and I'm going to let her talk about it. It's a problem that they have. But I just think that we need to do something right away, have a forum, whether it's a committee, task force, you know, I really don't care. We just need to get about our business, and I appreciate very much your hearing our concerns. And as far as the business license is concerned, I think the concerns of the business people have probably been voiced already to your finance department. Your public works people are excellent, by the way. When I call them, they support me. They come and get my recycling if I have a special problem. They're great. Public works, excellent. But maybe Lex Kirkland can speak to the business license issue. Sandy?
Good evening. My name is Sandra Zotter, and I'm representing Divorce Cafe. My daughter Heidi Sklazovich owns with her husband, Dr. Sklazovich. And I wasn't sure if I should come up and speak to you this evening because I know this is, I understand now what you're trying to do, but I just feel there's a problem with communication with the city when you have a problem. And recently, it's been the beautiful trees that you all put into the alley, and they did add a lot to the alley. They're absolutely beautiful. However, there's a square insert around those trees that is causing a lot of people to fall over there. And when I called the city, I was put in touch with your horticulturist about that square box around the trees. And he got back to me after a couple days and said somebody, he had their risk management person come and look at that. I wasn't aware you had a risk management person. I think that should have been referred to the Public Works Department to come out and have a look to see.
Is it still there, Sandy?
Oh, yeah.
The problem's
every single one of them in the alley has a problem.
And tell me exactly where it is, please.
Every tree has a square. It had gravel in it when you first put this in.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Now, people have called and complained, different businesses. Now they filled them in with some sand, which is not helping it because there's a big curb. We had an elderly gentleman fall right in front of the restaurant a couple weeks ago. He came in. He was injured. His hand, he fell on his face out there. So we're worried that it's going to cost the city in some lawsuits because it is the city's property. And I just don't feel like it was, you know, handled properly. And when he did come back to me, he said, well, my risk management person said, you have planters out in front of your restaurant that are too far out on the sidewalk. You have 2 feet from your building, and we measured, and it's not our problem. And I don't know who else to go to, and I thought I should come to the city council meeting, and I wasn't aware that this isn't a regular meeting. This is something special.
No, that's quite all right. We'll look into that, certainly. City manager and his staff will...
Yeah, that kind of little thing, you know, in the economy that's going on today, and deter people from coming into the restaurant isn't, you know...
Yeah, well thank you very much for telling us about this.
I do
never hesitate
it.
To pick up the phone and tell us...
Well, I did.
Know, right away.
I appreciate it.
Okay, and you did, and he came out.
No, I didn't see anyone.
Oh, okay.
I got a phone call,
anybody.
And he said that your risk management person, which I thought was a little kind of strange. I kind of looked for somebody from Public Works because I've heard a lot of...
Well, we do have a risk management person. Who is it, Roger?
Really?
Yeah, in other words, if there's a potential hazard out there that's going to cause some trip or fall, that would probably be the proper person. But Tom works for Public Works, so when you do call Public Works, he is one of the individuals.
Well, the reason I'm here and complaining is because I just don't think it solved the problem, and I think the city is going to be liable if somebody really gets hurt badly out there.
Okay.
Heidi herself has tripped, and you know, and it's not just us. It's other folks in the alley. Yanni from up your alley has said
the
same thing.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
For telling us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak? So do we have a consensus on focus group?
Yes. Yeah, I make a motion.
I make a motion to start with focus group in the area of the city.
Okay. All right. Let's see what council is. Okay. What does council think? I'm all for it.
Well,
I'm sorry, what?
Are you going to invite Lex up to answer some of the small business questions?
Invite Lex up to answer something on the business license?
We'll talk a lot of business license questions. I mean,
Well, certainly, Lex can come up. What is the specific question, Jane Page?
I think he might have some good information about this income tax return issue.
Oh, okay, certainly. Well, he's always prepared, so it's okay.
Hello, I'm Lex Kirkland. I'm the business license administrator. Jane actually came back to the back and asked me a question about the requirement to see a tax return, form of verification when they're renewing the business license tax, and she didn't realize that the businesses are allowed to bring it in, allow us to review it in front of them and take it with them, and she asked me to clarify that.
Okay. All right.
Let me also just mention that there's been a question that a number of cities don't require this. And that is true. Instead, they go ahead and they have auditors. Every 3 years, they go through and they'll spend a day or 2 days or 3 days at the business and audit all their books to make sure that the numbers are correct. We felt a number of years ago that, and again, this is where business focus would be great. Maybe businesses would prefer that we audit and spend time going through all your books versus bringing a tax return. So that's when the city went to the tax return. We've been doing it now for about 8 or 9 years. I know that the first year that we required it or asked for it, because again, most everybody does a very good job of reporting the income they have, but we did see a difference of between $30,000 and $50,000 additional that we did bring in when we did first start that process. But again, we can go back auditing and doing more of that. This was a way to avoid having to be intrusive into businesses by having an audit go there. For instance, the Charleston County has three auditors. That's all they do is they go around the businesses outside the city of Charleston and just systematically go around all the different towns, all the different areas. City of Charleston has two auditors, and that's all they do. And again, I don't think that's a good way of doing it, but again, we could go back to that type of system.
Well, I've always been confused with regard to this process, and I'm glad we're discussing it, because the city businesses need, under the present rule, which obviously needs to change, the city businesses need to bring their tax return in, whether they show it to you and walk away, whether they give it to you, and I think some even mail a whole tax return in because of confusion. But those businesses that are outside the city can't do that, because their tax return isn't applicable for our business license, because it's going to include income that's not taxable to the city of Aiken. So do we in fact conduct an audit of the businesses outside the city? I mean, we've discussed this before, and I don't think we do. I've asked this question of our own auditors when we get the audit report.
But again, it's on a case-by-case basis, depending on what they are declaring is done inside the city, and is that reasonable or not.
How many businesses outside the city have you audited in, the past year?
We've audited a handful of outside city businesses since I've been here.
And Reggie, how many are outside the city? Is that on your list?
The total number of business licenses is 4,015.
And how many are outside the city?
I didn't ask that question, but
okay.
I wrote it down.
Okay. So 2,000, and we got a handful. Okay.
And again, businesses outside the city pay double the rate of those inside the city.
I understand.
Okay.
Is that meant to compensate for not auditing?
That's to compensate for a number of different things, mainly because they're outside the city.
Well,
I think if you don't audit them and you don't really have their tax returns, what do you base the revenues on?
The business license tax for an outside city business is based on the work that they did within the city. And they provide that figure to us. If we had the staff, we could audit outside city businesses, but that would be a much greater undertaking than auditing an inside city business. And in a matter of seconds or minutes, you can easily do an audit of an inside city business and do it well when they provide you the documentation that we ask for. It would be a huge undertaking, hours if not days, to audit one outside city business.
Well, I think the and I've discussed this with Kim at length as well.
Sure. Good question.
You know, one of our biggest complaints about our tax system in this country is the fairness of it. And that's why we have a lot of advocates for the fair tax or some other system that's less intrusive than having thousands of pages of tax rules. But I just remain always concerned that there's an element in our dealing with out-of-city businesses that just doesn't seem consistent with how we deal with in-city businesses. But whether we have a focus group or not, this issue does not need to wait for a focus group. I think the staff has enough information now to at least transmit some information to start the dialogue with some of the businesses on this issue. They don't want to show their tax returns. And I'm not sure mechanically whether or not it would work for us to get the data from the state. I suppose it would, but I don't know about how that would, the timing of that.
It would not work the way it's been presented. The information that we can easily get from the state doesn't lend itself well to verifying the receipts at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would, just by virtue that our state tax returns based on the federal returns and are just additions and subtractions, at least on the personal basis. I don't know how it is for business. I've not had a business in South Carolina, so that may be different. I think, Kim, you may know.
And the list from the South Carolina Department of Revenue is for retail businesses, so it's not going to have any professional businesses on it at all, only retail who are collecting sales tax.
Okay.
I have a question.
Jimmy. Anyone who wants to speak, please come up here, and so we get you on tape. That's what we're trying to do. So
the only question I have is, when I go to pay my taxes, the BizLife, it says integrity, honesty. I'm not going to believe it. This is what's up there, and I can present my income tax, whatever. Okay. I can print anything. If I'm dishonest, I can print anything I want. I mean, I can print off a tax thing. I give it to an employee behind it. She looks at it, and that's fine. When you're dealing with integrity and people in business, you're going to audit them and all like that. I mean, most people in business are as honest as they can be. But if you're going to be dishonest, you don't have to report half what you do. And you don't have to do it. All I'm saying is what we're doing is we run a business, and then when we go in here, you treat us like children. Like we're felons. I don't believe what you say you turned in is what you did. Give me your thing. I have to, which they take, I have to go to my accountant. My accountant has to send a letter back that states these are the figures I gave him, so that I can present it to the city to say, okay, Jimmy, Daddy said this is what you did. And I'm looking at up there, it says honesty, integrity, all of that. But I am not trusted as a business person to report to you what I did in business. That's what angers people, is because we are here laid out here with all our investments, and then you don't trust what we say to you. And then we don't trust what you. Then we work up a little anger, I guess you'd call it, resentment. Because you don't believe us. We're liars. We're cheaters.
Can I address
sure.
this just for a second? He hits on some good points. I mean, he does. But we're not just out to catch folks who are intentionally being dishonest. One thing that I think you all would find surprising is that we have hundreds of these tax returns come in every year. The business is sending the tax return to me with their renewal notice and their check. Okay? Tons of them come in with that information on it and are incorrect. They pick the wrong number. We're catching tons of them that are just errors. So it's not that we're just trying to keep people from being dishonest. That's certainly part of it. That's part of any audit. But we're catching honest errors from honest people every day by doing these. And that's one of the big benefits of it. And one of the reasons, one of the major reasons we do it. I'm sorry, you know, you get the impression that we're just saying you're dishonest or this or that, but that's really not what it is. We catch more honest mistakes than we do dishonest mistakes. We really do.
I missed your answer. How do you determine what the right number is for a business outside the city? Is it by just their reporting, or you said you had a method to capture that information?
Well, the outside city business is the major way they report to us is on the honesty method. It is, but we know, you know, I'll have some that I know have done certain jobs in the city, or maybe with building inspections. I know they pulled permits for certain jobs. And we look at those kind of things to try to keep them as honest as we can. But it's a real challenge for any city that were to go and audit outside city businesses, because it's not like you can just look at their records, a quick glance, and determine what the correct number is. You've got to not only know what amount of business they did, you've got to know where they did it. So, I mean, with an outside city business, it's much, much more challenging. I mean, you would need, you know, somebody with a lot of experience in auditing to do a good job auditing the outside city businesses.
Okay. Any other questions, Lex?
I just have one quick statement. Maybe Lex can step here and answer for me, because I'm not sure. And I'm Dee Dee Vaughters. I wasn't going to speak, and I'm not going to weigh in on the committee versus group. Issue, but Leslie, I think they're a little over 4,014. Is that what your figure is, Reggie? Businesses?
Yeah, as of last week, 4,015.
Okay. So my question would be, when we're talking to business owners, just make sure we're talking to business owners who are brick and mortar business owners, or either like John Wade, that are really here and not just here buying a business license for their Aikens Macon, because I don't think that that's a correct assumption of how many businesses there actually are. And so maybe y'all could tease that out. Because, again, I think brick-and-mortar businesses who have employees are a totally different ballgame. Okay? So make sure we're talking to the right folks. And then back to Roger's point about those outside of the city paying double the business license tax, just remember they don't have to pay your merchant's tax, though, and we do. So we do, even though they pay double, again, the merchant's tax on property, fixtures, and equipment, we're paying that, and they're not paying that. And we pay it to the county as well.
Yeah.
So we pay to the city and the county. And I think there was some confusion because the folks here involved with the city didn't realize that we had to pay that tax to the county also. So it's a significant amount, too. So, you know, it is treating businesses differently. So be careful, again, what you're doing. I mean, are you basically giving us a reason to move outside of the city limits when they get special treatment and their word counts and ours doesn't? We have to bring in a tax return? A little different.
Okay. Order. Thank you, Lex. Thank you, Kim. Okay. Council have comments on what we've heard tonight? Any other comments? I think what I've heard is that maybe it's a consensus that we go to a focus group or groups. Start off with invitations to the businesses. Be prepared for overflow. I mean, a lot of folks coming. Have several facilitators, very much like we did for the strategic plan. And I think we pretty much agree that we try to get like businesses as much as we can in a focus group, in separate focus groups, like businesses as much as we can.
Mr. Mayor, I think
you know what, huh?
Geographically.
Well, the people, if we advertise this, people can come from all parts of the city, at least for the first one. Unless you wanted to start off with sections of the city and say, okay, you know, this evening we're going to take this section of the city.
I remember a comment that, you know, even though you're a retail business, you know, there's going to be major differences or major concerns, all according to what type retail business you are. So I just felt as though maybe geographically would be a better, maybe the south side of Aiken businesses experience one particular problem.
Okay. All right. If that's a better way.
The north side does not.
All right. Let's have some more questions.
Well, we can have some more thoughts from council on this. We can get this so complicated, the design. On the one hand, we're talking about a focus group geographically centered, and then we've had comments about a focus group centered on the nature of the business, i.e., and I can see restaurants having the same kinds of issues, realtors having the same kinds of issues, other businesses having the same kinds of issues. I don't think we ought to get too concerned about over-designing this thing. I think initially maybe we ought to just have a focus group and let's come in, because the tax issue doesn't make a difference what business you're in. Folks are still unhappy with the tax issues. I don't know if they're less happy after the explanation tonight or not. So the sign business doesn't lend itself necessarily to any one kind of business. So maybe an initial focus group that would discuss whatever wants to be brought up. And then I agree. I think I hadn't thought of it till I guess Donna said it, but the function focus groups would be, I think, an ideal way to approach it, because they're in the same, they have some of the same issues that are of concern to them. So
let me just add, as you stated, Mayor, that we move at an accelerated pace to get the focus group together and get all this information.
The other thing I think of concern is, if we're going to have a meeting in the south side, let's find a place. Our founders, you know, that could be a challenge, depending on where you go.
It could be at the Week Center or someplace like
that. Well, Odell Weeks.
Does someone have a... I don't know that we can have beer at this time. BY.
I just got a text message.
Well, that sounds great. Great. Okay.
One of the issues that we face during our strategic plan, if we're to look at focus groups, it's very hard when you're dealing with a focus group to, if you had 100 people show up, to really get some consensus as to what some issues are. And that's one of the things that the challenge we had in the strategic plan was, you wanted to get it down to a smaller group that you could hear from them, all the issues that they have,
right.
And therefore that's, you can have one central person who gathers the information from other people, but at a particular meeting, if we just say, let's just have a general one and 100 people show up, then we need to be prepared to probably have 4, 5, or 6 facilitators there available to break out into smaller groups so we can really hear some of the issues that are at hand. That's why one facilitator alone may not be able to do, unless we're going to say we're limited to only X number of people per focus group and have a dozen of those around the city.
Good point. Mr. Mayor, and I'll go back to some of the notes I took. Ms. Penland made a suggestion that I think would work. You have some groups that you could probably go meet with that group, like the realtors, and there's probably other focus groups, maybe the restaurants or some others, that you could go to and take a big share of that load off of having a focus group. And I think that communication could be made with the realtor group and see if that would work for them, that they could put their input in through that group. And maybe there's some other groups that are organized in the city as well as the realtors, whether it be contractors or whatever. But there are other organizations that might represent a large number of these businesses, both in the city and outside the city. I think that's one thing that we could do and see if it does work, and that would cut your load down. I think the other thing that is here, there's a couple of things mentioned tonight, and I'll use the, if you will, the signboard issue on Haynes Street. It looks like to me that's something that ADDA worked with a number of the businesses, and they could go in and look at that and go back in history, and I've heard of some sign, I forgot the name of it, that was mentioned by Ms. Tom.
Way
Wayfair. The Wayfair sign, yes. Maybe that's not what it is, but I would think that that's something that you know, the ADDA could just go look at just by saying, hey, it's interested citizens are looking at it. So I think there's some breaking down we can do of these. And then the rest of it, you're going to have, there's so many businesses of different types. And I'll use the data from our last meeting. We had 17 people talk back on June 2nd, and I sat down with a couple of the people that spoke. We had 11 or 12 non-government or non-entities that spoke. Out of that 11 or 12, 8 or 9 of them had different businesses. They were from publishers to landscapers to realtors to management, and then you throw in a couple others that were even smaller type businesses. So I think we can accommodate those maybe as a group, but if you have everybody come at one time and don't take out some of the big groups, it's going to be very difficult to manage, as Mr. Ledoux said.
Well, just as Mr. Mayor, just as we did the our strategic plan, where we broke into 13 or 15 focused areas, the same example can be used for that as we did successfully years ago, and follow that model in terms of our focused areas and move along expeditiously to get the input and the data recorded and some action plans from that.
Reggie, on dealing with individual groups, that sounds great, and I'm sure we could. How do you do that when you, at the same time, you're inviting all the businesses to come to one focus group? I'm thinking about getting started now. Are you going to tell them, no, you don't need to come because we're going to deal with you as a group?
Well, I'll use the example of the realtors. They have an office where they meet, I don't know, once a month or every 6 weeks or something.
Right.
And you might fit into these. And I think Mr. Jameson is still here. There may be other large groups that meet through his organization,
okay,
whatever they are. And I'll use the realtors, and maybe there's Equine is downtown or something else. And maybe there's a group of 30 or 40 businesses that could meet through the chamber. And I'm trying to divide it up so you get down to Mary's Beach, for example. You know, she's sitting there with two people in a lower, if you will, turnover of income versus what a realtor would turn over.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to divide it up and to see where groups exist, and that's one of them that is very organized.
Right, and I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I don't disagree with that at all. I'm just trying to say you then invite them back again to the larger, to the other focus groups.
So maybe
you say you don't need to come, you know.
No, I'm
saying. We're
going
to have other groups that is not a group necessarily. We're going to have scattered.
No, that focus group would be a realtor focus group that would meet at their office.
Well, I understand that, but okay.
You know,
we're talking about some of the invitations we talked about is sending out mass invitations.
And I have no issue with that.
Using the Aiken Report, for instance, and emails. And maybe I'm trying to make something out of nothing here, but I'm just trying to say, how do you separate if you're going to meet with the group, then you're not going to invite them to the other focus group?
They would be welcome to attend, but I would think if you get into some of the issues, the realtors have a total different issue, and we've heard that tonight and on June 2nd that each group has different issues.
Okay, so we go to them perhaps first and say, look, we're going to meet with y'all separate, we're going to meet with you, and we'll be meeting with some others that are not formed up in any particular group.
That's correct.
Like you are. So if you see some of the advertisement, you can come if you want to, but you don't have to because we're going to deal with you separately.
What I'm trying to do is divide it up along the lines Mr. Ledoux was saying. If you invite everybody and you get 150 people here, if 50 of those belong to a couple large groups that you can manage through their own organizations, then you get down, immediately divide your focus groups up, and you've handled a couple large focus groups.
Right.
But everybody be welcome to 10. You know, anything the city puts on is welcome.
We basically have two different issues here. One is we do have some different associations that represent some large numbers of businesses. And then we have geographical areas. You could probably look at five of the geographical areas, north, south, east, west, and then downtown. So if you said that you wanted to, and I'm just going to use a number here, but let's say you had 10 different meetings,
and try to go with a couple meetings a week, if that was possible. Then over a five-week period of time, you meet with those specifically within certain areas, and meeting with geographical, and they come to one or both of them if they want to. But I think what we found out in the strategic plan is people's time is limited, and individuals are not going to come to 10 different meetings. And, the reason I'm saying maybe one or two a week is I know some of you council members who want to come to some of these meetings. And if you had 10 different groups, it's going to for meetings. Either we space it over a 10-week period of time, or we try to double on up on some of these things. But that's something that would be very doable. We could advertise through our agency board website, and we could even send out letters. Even if we have a couple thousand within the city, we send out a couple thousand within the city to these groups and let them know where the meetings are going to be at, and invite them to one of those meetings so they give some input. Hopefully we'll hear from a couple hundred of them and get some input. The interesting part from your standpoint that I see is once you have these focus groups and let's say you get five issues with one group and five issues with another and another and another, then it's going to be how do you take those 50 or more issues and narrow them on down to something
right.
to deal with. And that's where you probably are looking to get in a committee or task mm-hmm. subgroup too.
Yes.
So I'm not too sure if you kind of get a group together first that kind of leads the focus groups, or you have the focus groups and then you get the group together to try to disseminate information.
Well, with Aikens Tomorrow, we pulled a number of groups together, and I just see that as a format to do it. But here again, I think the first pass on it, we should be pretty definite, you know, and in this case that we focus on the city of Aiken, you know, we send out 2,000 letters and you do it one time and they cost you a buck a piece or something
that's
to send out. But I do think that and I don't mind calling on some of these, the people that are here tonight, because I've already asked about this and they've brought it up to me, where large groups do exist within our community. And I'm not picking on any group, but the realtors are one, and then there's another couple of groups that have mentioned to me that maybe you meet with them as a focus group when they meet at their offices. And Mr. Taylor or whoever we choose just goes down there and chats with 30 or 40 of them. Because whenever they meet down there, let me tell you, the road's almost blocked on Silver Bluff with the number of cars there. So there's got to be a number of people there. And that's a suggestion.
Well, I think the idea behind a focus group is to kind of distill the ideas and reduce it to a manageable number. And believe it or not, even though we've got different groups like realtors, restaurants, retailers, I think when push comes to shove, whether it's worded differently, I think they all experience the same problems. The first one is, like one of our speakers said, is for us to get out of the way and mm-hmm. find out what are the impediments to them running their business the way they'd like to.
Mr. Mayor, I am not opposed to focus groups, but I do think this problem is permanent. I think it's something we need to do past 6 months. We have to have something in place, some kind of foundation in place past 6 months or a year from now, so that we don't find ourselves 10 years from now debating some of the same issues, and that is that we're out of touch with another group of people. And I do think, and I'll go back to my original suggestion, that no matter when you decide to put it in, I think there needs to be formed some type of business advisory committee. I think it needs to be something that could be in place, that we would always have it there to listen to and to hear to, and they can work with ADDA and the chamber and the city and anybody else, any other group, realtors, whatever. But I do think whether it comes out of the focus groups or not, we do need to put something permanent in place.
I agree with that, yeah. Beverly. Our committee.
I would just want to point out, I think it's a little different than the Aiken Tomorrow. group. I mean, we've had, this is our second meeting. I think we've had excellent input from the businesses, and if we had to list the number of items that they were talking about, they were speaking about concerns, I guess we'd probably have maybe 15 or 20. So I'm not sure that if we broke into groups, each one would come up with 10. And I think we're going to get to a point where we're going to have an honest difference of opinion between what a focus group wants to have done and what the council or the community might want to have done as well, and that's going to have to be discussed and hammered out. But I mean, as I said earlier, I don't think we want to over-design it. I'm in favor of having the first focus group and take it from there. I can see the wisdom of breaking it out either geographically or functionally to get further input. But I think we need to start, and I agree with Councilwoman Clyburn, that we probably need to have a permanent committee, if the business community wants it, to continue the dialogue.
You know, and that could be one of the very first questions of the focus group. Is this the direction they wish to go in?
For our first meeting, do we need to start off in a particular area of the city? Roger's described, or it's been described, five basic sections of the city, if you will. Do we need to start with one of those sections so it's not 2,000 people coming or 1,000 people coming? Okay.
Hotel in the summertime is kind of slow, and since we don't have the privilege of being a member of ADEA, because we're not downtown, I think it would be appropriate if the south side business owners were invited first, and I will provide the location for that. And I have a room that holds 40 people, and I really don't think you need to be worried about being trampled by hundreds or thousands of people. It's summertime, and people on vacation. I think time is the most important thing.
Okay, that's one very good offer we've received. Council want to take Peggy up on that? Unless maybe there's some other comments on that. If there are, let's go ahead.
I'm not speaking as a business owner here. I'm speaking as a resident of Kalmia Hills. I would love it if we could get a focus group over there first, because it's downright scary over there come 9 o'clock at night. Every business is closing. Apparently there's been all kinds of holdups and everything. Food line's closing at 10 o'clock, and that don't work for me because I don't do Walmart. So I have to go to Kroger's. And it's just getting more and more blighted. There's businesses that are just putting anybody in there to put anybody in the... And I'm sorry Jimmy Brinkley left just now, because he just put a nice little building up and did his little retention pond and everything. But otherwise, that is 2 blocks from our downtown, and I hold my child's hand at night when I go over there. So it's a crime issue. The buildings are dilapidated. There's no businesses going in there. And it's really a concern to me. I mean, the south side is at least booming, but Kalmia Hill area is a real issue. I mean, it's a small enough area that it really could be looked at in detail.
Okay. I think we all agree we need to move fast. And if we can schedule one of these a week, then we'll be over there in our area within a week or 2 weeks at the most.
All right, good.
Now, I don't think that's going to be too bad, do you? Mm-mm. If we can move that fast, whether we start to south side or what, it doesn't matter to me, or does the council can make that decision where we start. But we've got to get started. Jane Page,
do we?
Would you please come up? Everybody that wants to speak can speak, but please come up. We need to make sure we get your comments. They're important. They're important to us.
We have one meeting in the city auditorium. Advertise it for everybody. Southside businesses, Kalmia Hill, Northside, have it in the city auditorium. And have, just like you did for the environment or the environmental forum we did about 3 years ago, when people came in, there were 30 tables set up with a different topic at each table, and people who had interest in those topics sat down at those tables. I know that realtors, being having designations within the function of my business, I do business with a lot of businesses that do business.
So I may have a personal concern that would put me at table one, but I'm really there for my customer or my client, and that would put me at table number 13 because that's the thing that they really want an answer on. So I think that if you had one big meeting in the city auditorium and invite every single business to start this initiative and decide whether people want to, as people get there, and decide whether people want to break off geographically, which I think might be a good idea, or as Councilwoman Price said, issue-based. And you can do that by having tables. You can have the six issues that Councilman Ebner pointed out in his sheet, plus six others that may have come up tonight, and then you can have five tables. So you're basically looking at your 20 tables for people to sit down at each different table, just like you did for the environmental thing. And I know that some people didn't want to do agriculture, which is why four of us ended up stepping into a different role. But we did that because that was the table that didn't have anybody at it. And I think that you can do that, and you can get a really good path forward. If you do it all at once, I think if we start segregating based on geography from the beginning, we probably won't ever get to the end.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's what I meant by the strategic plan. We assembled in one big group. This is not hard. One big group, and then went into focused areas with whether it was recreation or whatever, for education, but those folks signed up for those groups, and some were added later on. But that is how we had our beginning, and it worked very, very well. We ended up with more than 300 people volunteering for those focused areas, which is a pretty good representation at that time. But I support that idea, Jane Page, with having one big meeting, letting folks know what's going on, and then from that point on, instantly starting with those focused areas and meeting.
Do we need a motion to move this forward, or how do we do this, Mr. Mayor?
Can we talk about it a few more minutes?
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I think happens when you get a certain number of people together, one statement by one person will prompt something else that maybe you haven't thought of from another person. And if we do that, and that's mm-hmm. fine, if this is what we want to do, have a table set up for each topic, how are you going to handle the person that wants to talk to about two or three topics? They're not there to talk about just one. They want to talk about a couple.
The facilitator would stop it and say, this is not what this focus area is about. You need to go over to that area.
Yeah, but I want to talk about this subject also. So let me go first, because I have to jump over in that other one. And I mean, we've heard people that have a number of issues, and I don't think that they necessarily want to give up talking about their number of issues just to sit down and talk about one focus group.
Well, there's no perfect answer, Mr. Mayor.
Right.
There is none. We just need to get it on, and if we find out that at this first meeting it wasn't long enough, or we can take a break halfway through and give everybody a chance to go to another group, or if we need to have another meeting, we'll do it. I mean, I think I sense the council is willing to do whatever needs to be done to get the job accomplished, and I would hope that if we decide that we're going to go this way, that perhaps a couple of the business people here tonight will volunteer to work with staff and lay it out the way they think it ought to be. It's for us and them. But as I said earlier, we got to be careful. We'll try to over-design this, and there is no there is no perfect process.
There certainly is. We know that, and there's some good ways of doing it.
Yeah.
So where are we now?
Well, let's try what was said, and then if it doesn't work, then we do something different the next time.
One large?
Yeah, let's start with a large focus.
Okay, that's great.
Well, we've had two offers of that type of organization, okay. So I think we ought to take them up on it and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If Ms. Price can make the motion, or I will, and so okay, we can move forward.
Maggie,
if we make a mistake, we back up.
Would you speak over here on the mic, please?
I'm Maggie Sachs. I just think that you ought to take up Bill Taylor's offer and get him to help facilitate this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, get him there at this very first one, and he's the expert, and then he'll be able to set it all up, and, you know, I don't know.
We'll move on from there.
Way to do it. Yes. If you all make that motion too, go ahead and call him and tell him he's on.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Are we going to need more than one facilitator, or does it?
We'll just start off with him, right. And then you know, let's just start.
Thousands of businesses at a national conference, so I think he might have a lot of really good answers to all of the minutiae that is involved with executing this. So if you all want to see, I would suggest that you let him do what his expertise.
And I think we need to talk to Bill before, of course, we go into any kind of meeting and make sure we know what the plan of action is, and he understands too.
I would rather you do that. I would not want that as a part of a motion without.
I don't think we need to make a motion, do we?
I don't.
This is an informal work session.
Agree.
We just agreed to do it.
Right.
Do it.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
No, we know it's a work session. So we don't.
So a large meeting.
I'm sure we can agree on something here. So yes. We're going to have one major meeting to start with, right?
Correct.
Okay, where is it going to be?
Downstairs.
Downstairs. All right. And we're going to have one facilitator team or more than one?
Well, each team has to have a facilitator.
Oh, okay. We're going to go to the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember when we started with the Clemson thing, we had like four. And I think Dr. Eitzen started with some general comments, and we all got together, and then people broke out in the four areas, and I mean, whatever it lends itself to, we don't know because we have to wait and see who's going to show up.
Okay.
All right. I think Bill Taylor should be able to handle it.
All right. When do we think? Sounds like Bill's ready to go.
Well, we have. Don't forget, we have a.
Well, that doesn't matter. He's not here. He's already.
Mr. Peters can help us also.
Hey, Bill. Hey, where are you? We need you here.
Last 6 months.
Well, I'm sorry Jane Page bothered you out in Colorado. Okay. Hey, say, when would you be available to start as a facilitator? We're talking about here, and I think we have consensus to have. We've talked about many methods, you know, of getting started, and it seems to be a consensus here that we would start with one big group downstairs in our conference center. And we'd have tables for different topics. And you would be the main man. But we. Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Okay, and we're anxious to get started. So if we just start off like that with one group, probably in individual tables with some topic areas, and I suppose we would have a facilitator at each type at each table. This we can take from you. We can talk later when you get back. When will you be back? Okay. Okay, so we'll get with you when you get back next week and talk, maybe early in the week or midweek or something like that. But, okay. Now one thing. Okay. Well, one thing we talked about is getting everybody involved. You know, sending out a letter maybe to, I mean, who knows how many copies at this time. How many?
A couple thousand.
Don't know how many people would come, of course. But we've got to get started somehow. And there are lots of ways to do it, and maybe nothing's perfect, but... And maybe... Right, absolutely. Okay, well, we'll go from that little bit that we just told you, and we'll get with you, several of us will meet with you next week, and make sure, okay, and then we'll have, okay, but Billy's saying hello to everybody that's here, still here, We started at 6:30. So.
6:30.
Okay, it's coming up on 9 here. Okay, after we talk next week, we'll get our thoughts together as to sending out an invitation. Okay? Okay. And we'd like to do this within maybe 2 weeks anyway. Okay? Okay, you're on top of it. Okay, Bill, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Pierce is very well experienced in this in the last few months, I think he'd be a good resource to use for this, if that's okay with Mr. Ledoux.
I think that's an excellent idea.
We won't ask him.
It's going to be at least a month now before we have our meeting, because by the time we go ahead and send the letters out, well, first of all, we're not going to even talk about it. But then we'll have to send out a couple thousand letters. We'll have to come up with a date. The date will be in the middle sometime at night during the week. And as we said, this is not a perfect system because I'm sure enough that's going to be the week that we pick is when four or five people that want to be there are going to be on vacation. But we'll just pick a night and pick from there.
We'll just use the statistical average. We'll pick July 13th, or some date like that. It's got to be after the 4th of July anyway, because, obviously the meeting with him and then the week of 4th of July is a waste.
Yeah.
But the week of the 12th or 19th is very appropriate.
Okay, we'll check with him and see what his schedule is, too.
Maybe you'll be out of
time. The week of the 19th is even better.
At the same time, as I mentioned earlier, could we ask ADDA to survey some of the businesses? We've got two issues dealing with signs that are strictly downtown. The issue of a sign on a third party, and then the issue, Roger, that you and I discussed with a business on Richland, that with items on the cobblestone area between the sidewalk and the street to attract business. I mean, there might be some fine tweaks we need to make to the sign.
We could do that again. We've just taken up the sign issue for sidewalk signs, and about 3 years ago we did take up the one on putting merchandise out on the street. But again, that's an area that council can go ahead and relook at again if they want.
Well, it's not a question of council looking at it. As I mentioned to you, there's some inconsistency, apparently. I'm not sure I understand the rule. Do you know what the rule is, Carla?
Well, let me explain a couple things. I was a little disappointed to hear that because, we just got through doing this and nobody came to us to discuss that we've already discussed these issues. Number one, I don't think people realize that there was the ordinance was you could not have signage on the sidewalk. The signage that was out there was illegal, and we had asked if it could please be, overlooked until we could come up with guidelines that the planning agreed with. We went back to the planning twice.
Okay.
We were denied the first time. We tried to have a compromise, which I think is one thing that is missing a lot of times. People want it their way or no way. We compromised, and I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about this.
That's fine.
The part about letting somebody advertise another business in front of their business, the reason we said no to that was because there were realtors who actually had signs out in front advertising neighborhoods they had outside of the Aiken area. It didn't even say, the name of the actual realtor that was downtown. As for other businesses that are wanting to, that have two or three businesses, that wasn't occurring, so it wasn't even an issue. And the fact that somebody wants to advertise their businesses in Augusta, I personally don't think that's what we want on our sidewalks if it's for a business here. So those things have already been discussed, and it's just a little upset because we have already spent hours on this.
The two issues that I became aware of this week, issue number one is the old bank building. It was simply a sign that says a business down here. Didn't say what it was, didn't say a name, just said another business down here, more businesses down here. And the other issue was that
You're talking about the wayfinding now, right?
No, I'm not. This was just a sign that was put in the empty bank building property and the bank owner.
He was talking about what we had before, discussed about wayfinding, where we have a post with signs saying more businesses.
Right, we specifically asked for that.
No, that's not what I'm,
but
that's
he's
not
saying
what I'm
there's
talking.
Something
I'm
else.
Talking about a sign like you'd run for political office, you stick it in the grass, and it said,
okay,
more businesses this way. Didn't say the name of the business,
mm-hmm,
and it was on the bank property with their permission, and it was cited because it was considered as advertising, a third-party advertisement. I don't know how it could be, but it was. The other issue that I had was I walked into a business, and I was told that this particular business on Richland used to have a wheelbarrow with flowers to kind of attract people as they're driving by. Somebody would look over and say, gee, this is a business. And that business was cited. I'm still confused. I've been having a dialogue with Roger over this. And so that business is under the assumption that, no, I can't put anything on the cobblestones between the sidewalk and the street, yet go down to Lawrence and it's all over the place. Some of the businesses have tables that I understand they pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Some have benches, some have other items, and I don't know whether they pay for them or not. And I guess all I'm asking is, you're the downtown guru, and I would think we want to be.
Yeah, I'll just ask somebody else if they were taking resumes.
but we want to. I mean, we've got two businesses that obviously don't feel well served by whatever rules we have, and that's all I'm asking. That's all I was asking about.
Okay, well, and like I say, you know, everything is supposed to be within 2 feet. And again, I guess maybe the bad part was that we asked for leniency for the businesses until we could come up with guidelines. Maybe we should have let the city say, wipe the sidewalks clean and we'll wash our hands of it.
And I'm not interested in punishing any business that has been doing what they're doing for a long time. I just,
right,
if another business wants to do it, then they ought to be able to.
Right. And I agree, and if there's an inconsistency, we want to know. But I'm one of these people where you don't say, well, they're doing it, so let us. We need to say, well, if we're going to have to, then we need to make sure these people are compliant also. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, I guess.
No, but obviously what some of the people are doing that might not be in technical compliance certainly looks nice.
I agree.
Is not a detraction to the downtown environment.
I agree, and
so
that is a whole different issue in signage, though.
Yeah.
That we went through the same thing. There's a different ordinance for flags. There's a different ordinance for items that are for sale. There's a different item for the signage that we were talking about, temporary signage versus awning signages. So you have to make sure you're under the same, you know, issue.
Okay.
So, and I apologize.
No, you don't need to apologize. You're doing fine.
Thank you. But if anybody wants my resume, I'll give it to you. No,
thank you, Carla. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, if we can clarify a couple of those things instead of waiting for the focus group.
Absolutely.
I think we could move ahead, too,
with some type of advertisement for Shop Aiken.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, we ought to be able to develop something for that. Question is, how are you going to do it? And maybe we've got some ways of doing it. Maybe we can get some help from some of you as to how we might want to go about that. That's something we can move ahead real fast on.
Are there any festivals looming that we can start advertising and get people into Aiken? That might be a good start.
That's in September.
Are we still looking good for Aiken Macon with the parkway work?
They're working like mad.
I know they are.
We sure hope so, don't we? Look, let me ask a question. Is everybody reasonably happy with what we've decided here? I mean, you're part of it. What have we decided?
Okay. To have a first meeting.
We're going to have, within the month, we're going to have, or maybe a month, we're going to have one large meeting. One large meeting, and it'll be downstairs in the conference center. Bill Taylor will be our facilitator. We'll have tables, and this has got to be finalized, you know, but we'll have a certain number of tables around with certain topics. And if you want to talk about a certain topic, you go to that table. And I say that you could get your whatever you want to say in, and then you could maybe move to another topic too. not like you. I don't think it'll be like you if that's the only topic you can talk about. And but we do have to talk to Bill. We know that he's said that he's ready to go. And so we'll talk to him next week when he gets back. And go over this with him and see how what his thoughts are. At least we're going to do something and get started. And I don't think it'll be a flop. I think we'll learn from it. I think we'll learn whether or not we want to do the second one like this or whether we want to break up in smaller groups in different places. I think this will be a big, I think this will be a learning, it's a learning opportunity for us as well. I mean, when you're dealing with maybe 2,000 people and how many you're going to get, 20% maybe, 10%, who knows? Got to start somewhere. And we've certainly talked about it. I think we've listened to everyone, and I think this is what council is. I think I'm not hearing anything, but I think maybe by not hearing anything, that's okay. Let's try it. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, John.
So Richard, we don't need a motion or anything.
That's what you said.
I think after you talk to Mr. Taylor, then at least the people that have been in the meeting, you've got a phone number and an address on them. As soon as you talk to him, let them know immediately what the decision is going to be and how it's going to be played out.
Absolutely. And good idea.
Those people can.
Do we have everybody's phone number and address or whatever? Phone. John, thank you. That's very important. Very good. Okay. No more comments? Okay. We stand adjourned.
Hey, Steve.
Did you play?